This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, on the 3rd of April, the Transport Secretary, Heidi Alexander MP, overruled planning inspectors' objections and granted a development consent order for Luton Airport's plans to expand and to add a new terminal, enabling it to handle a potential 32 million passengers a year. And in case you were wondering if that's a big increase, yes it is. It nearly doubles the airport's capacity. Needless to say, local environmental and campaign groups are upset that their warnings were overruled. Warnings about a huge increase in health-damaging noise, health-damaging air pollution, loss of a local park, and the additional greenhouse gas emissions from the extra planes, to name but a few. And the decision to allow expansion seems to fly in the face of the Climate Change Committee's guidance that no net increase in air travel should take place unless aviation is outperforming its emissions targets. One of the disappointed local campaign groups is St Albans Quieter Skies, and I spoke earlier to their chairperson John Hale to find out how, in spite of all of this, Luton Airport expansion had still been allowed to go ahead, what the environmental effects were likely to be here in Hertfordshire, and whether anything is planned to object to the decision. John, welcome to Environment Matters, and thank you for taking the time to join me today. Could you start by explaining to us how permission could be given by the Secretary of State, Heidi Alexander MP, even though the planning inspector had recommended rejection?
Well, thank you very much, Amanda, for having me. As you said, it's a recommendation, and therefore the Secretary of State has the ability to decide to ignore the recommendation, though that she did have to give her reasons for not going with the original recommendation. And as with all planning matters, especially ones complex as this, there are a number of factors that the inspector took into account, such as the impact on the environment, such as noise, and also the impact on the economy. And the inspectors wrote their report, it's about 600 pages, and said that whilst there was an economic advantage to Luton and the wider area in having a new airport, this was outweighed by the negative impact on, amongst other things, noise and the environment. The Secretary of State read that report, or rather the Department for Transport officers read that report, and they decided that whilst they agreed with the negative impact of all the things that the inspectors had said would have a negative impact, they said that the economic advantages would outweigh those regardless. And therefore, it got through purely on the grounds that the Secretary of State and the Department of Transport think it will be good for the economy.
And also, I suppose, going back to the environment part of that, the Climate Change Committee has said that they think that no net increase in air travel should take place unless aviation is outperforming its emissions targets. It would seem that this permission flies in the face of that as well.
And again, unfortunately, the Climate Change Committee is only guidance, and the Secretary of State is not bound by what they say. And I think in this case, it's a particularly shameful matter, because one of the ways that the airport is claiming that the environment risk is mitigated is that they are looking at something called the Jet Zero. But they are taking Jet Zero on its most optimistic outcome. This Jet Zero is where they say that aviation can lower its impact on climate change by switching the types of fuel it uses, being more fuel efficient, etc. And what the airport has taken is they've taken the most ambitious outcome on Jet Zero and said if that happens over the next 20, 30 years, we will meet the requirements that is required. Whereas I think more people would say, well, no, we should take a pessimistic or post a medium outcome, not the most optimistic one.
And that's looking into the future, but Is the aviation industry, as the Climate Change Committee asks, is it outperforming its emissions targets currently?
Not to my knowledge.
So the Secretary of State, Heidi Alexander, obviously expects the airport to be able to provide a lot of jobs, which presumably it will do, and also huge economic benefits. It is hard to argue with that, isn't it?
I think it's hard, but not impossible. And in fact, during the actual inquiry, etc., there was a report that was put forward by the opposition groups pointing out all the ways that this wouldn't meet its economic advantages that they claimed. And I think there's what I think a very basic test is, if Luton Airport was so great for the economy, why is Luton one of the most deprived areas in the east of England? The airport isn't bringing in a lot of apparent benefit to everybody in Luton. Now, it may be good for the wider UK economy because people travel there to go places, goods come in and out, etc. But it's not actually boosting, hasn't had a brilliant impact on Luton, in my opinion.
And I suppose if we are thinking about jobs and we're thinking about the economy, the Universal theme park that is planned just up the railway line from Luton Airport, that has been announced since the Luton Airport decision was made. I just wondered if you thought they might be connected. You can kind of see that if you're planning a great big tourist attraction, having a local airport with lots of capacity, surely the things go hand in hand?
Yes, but I don't think they're immediately connected. I suspect it's more a question of things just happening at roughly the same time. Luton is not that far, when you think about it, from Heathrow, which is, you know, one of the world's largest airports. So people could be up round the M25 and into the theme park just as easily. And I think also going back to your previous question on the economy, if we get people flying into Luton, coming off the plane, getting on a coach, being driven into the theme park, having their great week there, and then getting in a coach and flying back, it's not going to do a lot of benefit to the wider economy. Most of the jobs in theme parks and airports that are going to be for people who live in the immediacy are not going to be high-paying jobs. It's not high-tech companies bringing in those sorts of positions.
Well, true. I suppose jobs are jobs, though, aren't they?
Jobs are jobs, yes. But we need to be moving people up the economic ladder, not keeping them down.
So we've sort of talked a bit about the economic impacts of Luton Airport and perhaps the Universal theme park, but actually there's going to be lots more impacts than that. It will involve over doubling of the amount of planes. So I just wondered if you were able to give us an idea what the effect might be locally on things like noise levels. I mean, noise levels at night during the day, presumably they'll have to have more flights at night, or do we not know yet?
I think there is restrictions on how many flights there can be at various times, and we push back very hard to keep the impact largely during the day rather than at night. The airport will argue that they're going to use larger airplanes, so there won't necessarily be a doubling in flights. Obviously, larger airplanes tend to be noisier than smaller ones, even though with modern technology they say the planes should be getting quieter. They're not, but they claim they should be. I think one aspect here is both the Secretary of State and the inspectors acknowledged that the noise impact would be significant. It was one of the things they gave greatest negative impact to of the airport. And I think they've effectively said, you're just going to have to lump it.
Well, that's a slightly sad prospect, just lumping it, isn't it?
Yes.
But, yeah, I suppose you're right. That is what we'll have to do. And then how about the other impact? I mean, everybody who arrives at an airport has to get away from an airport, and they will be doing that either on the roads or on trains. I suppose they'd say that we'll all be doing it on trains, but that will have an impact on our trains as well, won't it?
Well, we won't all be doing it on the trains because the train service simply does not have the capacity. And as some of your listeners will know, there is this strategic rail freight interchange going in south of St Albans, which is also requires rail track capacity. And so I think it is going to be difficult to see how they can absorb on the railways all the additional passengers that the airport is expecting to use the railways. So it's been acknowledged even by the airport that there will be a significant impact on the roads. And that was one of the main issues that Hertfordshire County Council and other local councils had, is because this is when you start seeing the impact getting further and further away from the airport and affecting places like Hitchin, where, you know, people are going to come down the A1 and then cut across, and No, they're not going to go all the way down the A1 to the M25, round the M25 and up the M1. They will go down the M1 and then cut across country. And those roads are not designed for those volumes of traffic. So we're going to, as well as all the construction in around the airport, there's going to have to be additional construction further away, building new road interchanges, upgrading roads, and having that impact on us.
Indeed. And, you know, let's face it, the roads, they're already bad enough, aren't they? Particularly at busy times, which, yeah. I don't know, is that the time that people come to airports? Perhaps they come at different times, perhaps they...
Well, I think that's going to be interesting. Obviously, one of the things about Luton is they do a lot of budget flights. And a lot of those tend to go fairly early in the mornings. So it may well be that it will not impact the traditional rush hour so far, but it will expand the rush hour. So we will see the roads getting busier at 5 a.m., 6 a.m. in the morning, and then carrying on until the middle of the morning, 11 o'clock, and then maybe a slight lessening in the middle of the day before then, staying busy right up until 10, 11 o'clock at night.
And, of course, this causes inconvenience and means when you're trying to get to work or whatever, it will be hard if you go by car. But I suppose, actually, more seriously, is things like air pollution, something we don't see, but more vehicles means more air pollution.
Yes, and I think it's those sorts of add-on effects that we should be really concerned about, because around the roads, etc., people talk about electric cars, you know, oh, well, we'll all have electric cars. But electric cars are still polluting. When you brake, etc., you release particles and it causes air pollution. So electric vehicles are not necessarily clean. They're maybe cleaner, but they're not clean. And so you're talking about the sheer volume. Plus, it's going to be a few decades before we see a significant reduction in the amount of non-electric vehicles on the roads. So I think this is something that we should all be concerned about, and with the congestion just adding to it.
Indeed.
So there are many local groups that really aren't happy about expansion at Luton Airport. Are they proposing to do anything about it?
Yeah, the local groups are working, and this has been led up by Ladican, and hopefully your listeners will be able to find Ladican's website and find more information on there. But the local groups have already written to the government stating our intention to seek a judicial review on this and raising the points that we think that the government has failed to follow proper process in coming to this decision. Obviously, this isn't a cheap process, and whether we're able to go through with it will depend both on the response we get to from the government and our lawyer's advice as to how strong a case we have, and then our ability to raise the funds to take it actually to the High Court.
And have other campaign groups been able to successfully object to expansion at other airports?
There have been some successes elsewhere. I'm off the top of my mind, I think Bristol had a particular one from recollection. So it's definitely something that is worth us trying. And judicial reviews have been successful in other circumstances.
OK. So if this is something that we're concerned about, what can we do?
I think there are two things that I would urge people to do. One is to go onto the Ladican website, find the links for how to give a donation for the judicial review and give us some cash. I'm sorry, but you know, these things cost money. The second thing to do is to sign up to local groups, etc., so you're kept informed as to what's going on, because if this goes ahead, the airports are going to need to be kept under a very close eye. One of the things they claim that it's going to be unique about the Luton Airport offering is something called green controlled growth, which is how they say they're going to minimise the impact on the environment. Basically, I don't think it holds up. I don't think it will deliver what the airport claims it will deliver, but it definitely won't deliver it unless residents aren't forever knocking on the doors of Luton Borough Council and Luton Airport and saying, you said you were going to do X about noise. Why haven't you? When's it going to happen?
OK, and that's something that people throughout Hertfordshire who are affected can...
Throughout Hertfordshire and Bedfordshire, yes.
John Hale, thank you very much indeed for telling us about that today.
I was talking there to John Hale of the campaign group St Albans Quieter Skies. And I can bring you updated news that Ladican, the group spearheading opposition to expansion of Luton Airport, have now begun the process of judicial review of the government's recent decision to allow expansion of Luton Airport. Now, they say that they have taken legal advice and that they believe that the Secretary of State's decision-making was unlawful, and say they are fighting to get the decision quashed. As John said, this is a costly process, and so they say that they are asking for help from anyone concerned about climate change and indeed about preserving the quality of life in Hertfordshire and South Bedfordshire to help them. Crowdfunding for this challenge is being gathered by the West Harts Environmental Foundation charity, which can also claim gift aid where appropriate. And they ask that even a very small gift will be much appreciated. I'll make sure that links to the crowdfunding page and to some of the local campaign groups are included in the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com, where you'll also find the podcast of me talking at the start of this year to founder of Flight Free UK, Anna Hughes, where she talks about the joys of travel without flying, and there's lots of tantalising ideas about flight-free journeys that you might not have considered. So what are your thoughts on air travel? I know that it's a controversial one, so I would really like to hear your views. Via email, I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on Twitter and on Facebook. And before I go, a quick reminder that the second of this year's Sustfest seasons, long weekends of eco events throughout St Albans district, takes place from the 16th to the 19th of May. Now, it's not too late to register your eco event, however big or small, on the Sustainable St Albans website. Perhaps you could run a litter pick in your street or a plastic-free day at work, or perhaps get your local church or school to sign up for one of the University of Sussex's Buzz Club citizen science experiments to help us discover more about how we can help pollinators. We've talked about those on the show before. And of course, there's lots of eco events over the same weekend for you to join in. There's open gardens, seed paper making, bike buses, a clothes swap, a repair fair, and lots more. Again, check out the Sustainable St Albans website, and I'll also put a link into the show notes along with all the other links from this week's show. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.